Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of... Welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. So honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heighten your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, my guests today write this. They say, fear is the thief of yesterday's dream. It's the intimidator of today's promises, the decapitator of headship, the emasculator of tomorrow's warriors, and the cage of God's eagles. It's the enemy's greatest weapon to hold us hostage. Oh my goodness, do we have a show for you today. Wow, this book. Pat and Karen Schatzline join us today to talk about their book, Restore the Roar, Defeat the Spirit of Fear with the Breath and Power of God. And just as I'm holding up the book and telling you the title, I have holy goosebumps. There's this lion on the front of this book. The content, I'm underlining every other sentence. It is so powerful that we reached out to the publisher. I think we're going to have about 5 copies to give away. I'm saying that by faith. So you want to get in on this book. I wish I had 100 copies, because fear is what the enemy uses as his weapon to bully us into a corner, bully us out of our destiny. And God wants us to put fear under our feet and lay hold of everything that he paid such a high price for us to have. I'm so excited to get this book into your hands. So we've got 5, and I'm saying that by faith, but I'm pretty sure I'm right. So you know the drill. If you listen often enough, you can text or email. Don't wait on this one. You're going to love this book. 877-933-2484. Don't forget your address. And at any point through the show, you got questions or comments, include those in the text as well. And you know, texting is my love language. So when you text, it makes me so happy. And here's our email address, middays@myfaithradio.com. Quick announcement before we get our guests on the show here. A week from today is our live event with Dr. Troy. You haven't been hearing me talk about it because the tickets sold out right now, really fast. And we've got a waiting list of about 16 people. We cut it off at that point just because we don't have a huge room, but people are excited to hear from Dr. Troy. So I want to say to you, if you have a ticket and you don't think you can make it, will you please let the ticket office know ASAP? Because there are other people who know that they can make it and they want so much to join us. So that's a week from tonight. And just asking you, if you don't know if you can make it, let us know so we can get that ticket to someone who can. All right, let me tell you about my guests. We'll get them on the show. Karen and Pat Schatzline are international evangelists. They're authors who co-lead Remnant Ministries International. They are known for their passion to lead people of all ages into deep encounters with God. Been married since 1990. They make their home in Fort Worth, Texas. Their joys are their daughter, Abby, their son, Nate, their daughter-in-law, Adrian, and their 2 grandsons, Jackson and Anderson. This is the one time I'm going to have them speak at the same time just for fun. Karen and Pat, welcome back to the show.
We are so glad, Karen, we're supposed to do it together. Let's do it together.
We're
talking together.
Fantastic. Well, I just love chatting with you guys. Appreciate the time so much. And we love starting every day talking scripture. And Pat, I'll start with you. Is there a verse you've been thinking about these days you can share with us?
You know, absolutely. And we're so blessed to be on with you. Thank you for having us. We love your show. We love what you represent. But Psalms 34, verse 17 is my cry right now. And it's in the Passion Translation, but it says, yet when holy lovers of God cry out to him with all their hearts, the Lord will hear them and come to rescue them from all of their troubles. That is the sound of the roar being restored. That's my verse.
Love that. Karen, how about you?
Well, I have several, so I could quote like tons of them. But one of my favorites is Psalm 5 that says, every morning you'll hear me at it again. Every morning I'll lay the pieces of my life on the altar and I'll wait for the fire to descend. Because there's so many times in our life, fear, frustration, anxiety, turmoil, everything that comes into our life, we have broken pieces in our life. And the enemy uses fear to bring those broken pieces in our life. But every morning, if we will lay all of those pieces on the altar and wait for the fire to descend, it will create the most beautiful mosaic that has ever been seen. And our life will bring glory to the one who created us.
Wow, what a beautiful passage. It's amazing. I just got to give a shout out to a first-time listener, Natalie, listening in from Moreno Valley, California. Natalie, good to meet you. So good to have you listening today. So Karen and Pat, let's start with you, Pat. You guys said that you were actually initially, at first, afraid to write this book. And as I read the story in context, I so understand why. You've been through the battle. You've been bruised and bloodied. And every time, as an author myself, when you step in to write a book, you're stepping in to the fray, and you're putting yourself on the front line. But talk more about that, Pat.
You know, I was laying in a hotel room in September of last year, and we were getting ready to go to Europe to minister. And we had just come through the most powerful, intense struggle of our life. And it was early in the morning. And all of a sudden, I'm laying there in the hotel room, and Holy Spirit wakes me up and says, "What happened to your roar?" And I said, "Lord, what do you mean?" And he took me to Amos 3:8. You know, as the prophet speaks, so the lion roars. And I said, "Lord, I don't have a roar." And then when he began to burn in our heart to write this book, I said to Karen, on the day that our publisher said, "Yes, let's go with this route," we really felt stirred in our spirit. And the publisher said, "Yes." In the middle of the day, I walked up to Karen and I said, "I don't want to write this." And she said, "Why?" I said, "Because what you write about, you'll end up fighting against. It's the rule of the author." And sure enough, within that night, we started writing. And within that night, nightmares that I used to have, traveling the world, 3 million miles, I would have nightmares of my house being broken into, my family being harmed, or a plane going down. And that night, the nightmares began again, and we had broken that. And I got up the next morning, and I'll tell you what I did. It's the first time I've told anyone. I called my dad, who's a precious elder statesman, pastor, and I said, "Dad, there's only some things that a father can break." And I said, I do it with Nate all the time, my son, who's a pastor out in California. And I said, "I need you to pray over this and break this." And he prayed, and I never had another nightmare. But I wrote, or we wrote the chapter, "We were afraid to write this because what you write about, you'll fight against." But that's how you confront it and peel back the lies of the enemy.
So good. Karen, what about you? You really encouraged him, saying, you know, this is going to set generations free, but you still had your own battles to face as you're stepping into the fray, going, "Fear is a liar. We're not putting up with it anymore." What did you walk through?
Well, because I had this birth came from years and years and years of battling fear and anxiety for both of us. I mean, there was a time when I had first started traveling and I was so afraid to stand up in front of a crowd. I would break out in hives. I would get sick. Everything, it became kind of our little joke in our home that every time I would go and speak, when I would go without Pat, in the hotel room when I would get there would be a bouquet of roses. He would send the bouquet of roses, but around the vase of the roses would be tied a little bottle of Pepto-Bismol because he knew that I would be sick. And so, and he had battled fear in different areas. And so we knew when we faced the diagnosis that came, that diagnosis that no one wants to hear of leukemia, we knew that the fear that we were facing wasn't just a cancer fear. It was fear that had literally ruled us for so long that we had to break that. And in order to break the fear of the lies of the enemy over this cancer diagnosis, we had to confront the fear that the enemy had always had in our life. And so we decided right from the beginning that we were going to go on a journey of conquering, overcoming, and overthrowing the lies of the enemy in our life. And God kind of took us on this journey of deciding about whether or not we were going to stand true to his word and believe, or we were going to give in to the lies that were being told to us by the enemy.
You know, and the enemy does fight so dirty. You know, and you and I have talked about this off the air, Karen, where, you know, I went through that massive health relapse 3 years ago, and it was a physical battle, but the bigger battle, as you say, was fear. I mean, that was what God was going after. Like, I had several layers and levels of victory, but it still nipped at my heels because I still had these scary symptoms that would rear their ugly head. And I felt like it was this D-Day battle where God's like, "That's it. We're going to turn around and face this thing." And I felt like what I walked through was a walk through hell, but I am not the same person after. And I know you guys aren't the same people after walking through what you've walked through. But I know this because I've heard it, and I know you have as well. When people are listening to us going, I don't really want to go through that kind of stuff, so I'd rather just stay in the sidelines. What do you say to the person who has even the fear of the what ifs? Like, they have a calling, their heart beats in their chest, but they're like, I don't have the stomach to face some of the stuff you guys have faced. Pat, I'll go with you first, but I want both of you to answer it.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things we wrote is that tragedy has a trajectory and steals your identity. And when you've been through enough stuff, you know, scars on earth are testimonies in heaven, but it's that place where you begin to realize that you can stay in the same spot. And I say this all the time, Susie, but I mean it. I want to get to heaven with nothing left to do. And that means living somewhere between amen and there it is. And when you have that mindset, there comes a moment with every book we've ever written, Rebuilding the Altar, you know, Karen's Dehydrated, whatever it is, it peels back another layer. In our own lives, and to get to the core of God in our life. And I want to say to anybody that's sitting out there and you go, you know, I've never faced this kind of stuff, or I'm facing this and I'm petrified. Let me tell you, there's a moment where you begin to realize if God trusts you to go through it, he wants you to deal with it and then eventually minister to it. It's what you said. You walk through hell. So, you know, when you look at Jesus, Jesus came out of hell differently. And it's on the other side of the attack that you're able to look back and go, my God is faithful. My God is big. But it's in the attack that you got to praise him regardless. And so back to your question, anybody that's listening to this, don't be content to just survive. Because, and we wrote it, fear is a learned or perceived aberration that over time becomes your absolute. And you have to find out and realize that God is waiting on you on the other side, and he's about to high-five you. But it's time to get up and get going.
We got to pause here. That's fantastic, Karen. I'm going to have you answer that on the other side. But what I hear in your writing, I feel like your books are picking up speed. And what I feel in my own spirit, as I have prevailed in battle too, is you know, you're just not the same people on the other side. And as you say, if he brings you to it, he'll absolutely bring you through it. Friends, I want you to have this book. I wish you could see the cover. It's gorgeous. Restore the Roar. Defeat the Spirit of Fear with the Breath and Power of God. It is time for God's people to rise up and say, enough with the fear. Already, we've got a few copies, I think about 5 to give away, so you can text or email. Remember, texting is my love language. I just love hearing from you. 877-933-2484 or middays. You can email middays@myfaithradio.com. On the other side, Karen will talk about how she has come through the battle of leukemia, holding on to faith and who she is now. More with Pat and Karen Schatz Line in a moment. So much for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. Have amazing guests, Pat and Karen Schatzline, who have written a profound book. I love this book. I want you to have this book, Restore the Roar, Defeat the Spirit of Fear with the Breath and Power of God. We've got a handful of copies to give away. Text or email to get in the drawing, 877-933-2484, or email middays@myfaithradio.com. All of us need to get to that place where we say, enough with the fear already. Scripture says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. And we'll unpack that verse in a little bit later in the show. Karen, before the break, I asked both of you, just, you know, when people watch the stuff you walk through, they say, you know, I don't really want to go through that. I'd rather stay in the shadows than have to walk through the kind of hell you walk through. But this is how you restore the roar. As you walk through, you praise him and you see him on the other side and you're stronger on the other side. Talk about that process for you.
Well, you know, I think in the beginning when I was diagnosed with leukemia, God had already prepared me for that battle. And I think our relationship with him has to be one that we listen for his voice in the quietness. And what happened with me was probably 6 months before I was diagnosed, I was standing at the kitchen sink just doing dishes. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Karen, you are about to walk through a difficult and uncertain season. And I would love to say that faith was at its height at that moment, but I have to be honest, I rebuked it like it was the enemy. And in that moment, I heard it again. You're about to walk through a difficult and uncertain season. But then he said, do you trust me? And I think that is a key word because, you know what, Isaiah 26:3 says that he will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are stayed on him because they trust him. And I think so many times fear enters into our life out of a lack of trust, whether it be stepping out into our destiny or walking through a difficult season. And I think sometimes we think that that season of difficulty is going to define us. But in reality, that season of difficulty doesn't have to define you. It can equip you to do what God has called you to do. And when he spoke that to me, he began to take me down this journey of faith and trust. He didn't ask me about my faith in that moment because I believed in him. I knew who he was because faith is a result of our encounter with him. But trust goes a whole nother level deep with him because since faith is a result of our encounter with him, trust is a result of his reputation. It's a result of our relationship with him. And what he was saying to me was, Karen, let's take a walk down memory lane. Let me show you every point in your life where it could have ended badly, but I was there with you. I never left you, never abandoned you, never walked out on you. And when we realize that, we truly understand the verse in Psalm 23 that says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. It's because we trust him. We know that shadows, we know that dark seasons, we know that the valleys are inevitable in our lives. But when we trust him, we know that we will see the light on the other side and we can grab as many hands of people who are hurting as we walk through it and pull them out to the light that he's leading us to.
Amen. I remember part of the story, and Karen, correct me if I'm wrong, but doctors wanted to do a bone marrow sample and you just weren't ready for them to do that. And you had a trip, if I remember right, to Brazil. Your hubby was speaking in another part of the world and you wanted to postpone that test till after that trip. And you're walking up on the stage talking to getting ready to speak to many people, and the enemy said, you're a fraud. You have cancer. You know, what kind of faith do you have? And it took you back because you were battling. Cancer is so scary. But then you pushed back and said, no, forget this. And that's my paraphrase. But right. You stood up, rose up, you gave your message. But the Lord spoke to both of you at the same time that Karen was going to be healed or that you were healed. And I'd love for both of you to speak to that. Pat, why don't you go first?
Well, I was in Charlotte speaking at a conference, a pastor's conference. Karen's in Brazil speaking to, 20,000 women. And at the exact same moment, I always say this, that fear has a twin sister and it's simply fatigue. It's exhaustion. It's weariness. And I was there. Karen was there. But we were pressing through. She had told the doctor, I'm not doing a bone marrow. Let me wait till after I get back. So he said it for right when we got back. I'm on stage in Charlotte. My daughter, I call her little girl. She's 16. She's with me. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord overwhelms me and says, the storm is over. And the exact same time, Karen is on stage. You go ahead, sweetheart.
Well, at that same time, I was walking up on the stage in Brazil to speak to 20,000 women on hope, on healing.
I'm a woman with the issue of blood.
I was speaking on the woman with the issue of blood, and I was her. I was the woman with the issue of blood because leukemia is a cancer in the blood and the bone marrow and everything. And so I was walking up on stage and the doctor had asked me to do the bone marrow biopsy. And I looked at him and I said, I'm begging you to let me wait till I get back because I don't want what you see in the natural on that report to deter my faith when I step up to speak. So I want to wait. And he agreed. And so I'm stepping up on the stage. And in that moment, the enemy started taunting me, mocking me, just coming against me saying, you're a fraud. You're a fake. You're a liar. You're talking to these women on hope, freedom, healing, and you're going to die of cancer. And I stepped up on that stage and there was a holy boldness, that roar that God gives us that rose up inside of me. And I stepped up on that top step. And for a moment, I froze and I said, no, devil, you're the liar. You're the fraud. You're the fake because I'm going to be speaking to these women on what I know is my destiny, on what I know God can do. And I stepped up and I opened my notes up on the stage. And in that moment, that same spirit that I heard saying, do you trust me? Said the words to me, your blood has been made whole. And at the same time, he was speaking to Pat that the storm was over.
Amazing. And then you go home. What did the doctor say to you, Karen?
Yes, we got home, and the very next day we had to go in for that bone marrow biopsy. And we went in, and he took my blood to test it before the biopsy, sent Pat and I to the bone marrow biopsy room, and we waited in there. And we were, you know, I was constantly having to quote, you know, the scripture in my mind to protect my mind from believing that this was going to end this way. And about that time, the doctor walked into the door with the biggest smile on his face, and he looked at Pat and I, and he said, I have never been happier to walk into one of my patients' rooms and say to you, I don't know what happened. I can't explain it. When you came in here, you had cancer in your blood, but your blood came back completely normal. My blood had been healed because the voice of the Father who spoke to both of us on that stage had told us in that moment that I was healed, and it manifested itself and is baffling oncologists at conventions all over because that doctor is using my case to study because they cannot explain what God did.
Especially, you know, what's amazing is he's one of the top oncologists in all of Fort Worth, and he's not a believer yet. Because he loves us. And so he has us come back in every 3 to 6 months. Jesse said, I just want to watch this happen. It's amazing.
I actually come in, go back in next Wednesday because he said, can I document your case? Because no one that I show it to has any answers for what has happened.
Hallelujah. You know, I wonder, my husband's a cancer survivor and he had to go in every 6 months for a while, then every year. It's been 20 years now. But, you know, I would say for those first few years out, we would hold our breath a little bit, you know, when he'd go back for blood work. And we'd have to get to a place of faith over fear. Do you deal with that at all? Or does it, don't you just like give it any room in your mind and heart?
Well, I mean, I have to be really honest and say when it gets close to those appointments,
absolutely,
the enemy definitely tries to bring in fear in those. But Pat and I, when we were walking through that, you had mentioned that formula for defeating fear. And that was really what gets me through those appointments. And I can share that the formula for defeating fear that God gave us was just like you mentioned, 2 Timothy 1:7. And it's, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And I needed that. I needed some power. I needed God's love to cover me. And I needed a sound mind more than anything I had ever needed in my life. And so God showed me as I started researching that those were actually weapons. They were weapons that he had given us, the power. And it literally, when you study that word, literally means the power to change the atmosphere, to go in, change the course of events. And then he gave me love that cast out all fear. And he gave me a sound mind to determine what is real and what is the lies of the enemy, to no longer be affected by absurd, illogical, and unfounded thoughts.
Those are the exact definitions right there.
It's amazing. We need to pause here for our break. Those are the weapons that we defeat fear with. Talking to Pat and Karen Schatzlein, I told you, they write like they speak in this book. You just look at it on Amazon so you can get a picture of this cover. Restore the Roar, Defeat the Spirit of Fear with the Breath and Power of God. When we come back, I'm going to talk about the implications of fear in Christians' life, like the cost of us not dealing with it, letting it hover, and then what is possible when we decide to take it on and put it under our feet. We've got 5 copies. I say that by faith. We're going to get them somehow. If I have to buy them on Amazon to get them to you, I'm doing it. 877-933-2484. We're texting today, not taking calls. And then email middays@myfaithradio.com. Talking about the implications of fear and how to defeat it in just a moment. Thanks for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson talking to Pat and Karen Schatzlein, who've written an amazing book Oh my goodness, I love this book. Restore the Roar. You see this lion on the cover. It's amazing. Defeat the Spirit of Fear with the Breath and Power of God. Such a powerful conversation. We've got a handful of copies to get into your hands. You can text or email to get in the drawing, 877-933-2484, or email middays@myfaithradio.com. This dear listener says, this program I so relate to. Fear attacks me at night when I'm so tired, but also it did when walking through a horrible attack in Minnesota when I worked there. I needed to hear this couple today. Thank you all. Well, thank you for listening today. So let's go here if we can. I'd love for you both to speak to it as much as you like. Pat, we'll start with you. The implications of fear, because I think I noticed for me, I've taken it on several levels, but it wasn't until this massive health attack that I realized I was like living with a low-grade fever. I was putting up with a measure of it, letting it nip at my heels, didn't even realize how much it was draining my strength. So talk about the implications of just sort of letting fear hover and not dealing with it.
You know, I wrote a chapter, we wrote it together, but I wrote a chapter called When the Shadow Looms. And I'm reminded when my son was just a little fella, and, you know, Nate's 27 now and a pastor out in California, leads thousands of young people. But when he was little, and he actually tells this story himself, but when he's little, he would get afraid. And so we took a bottle and we put the word Holy Spirit on it, and filled it up with water. And so in the middle of the night, if he got scared, he was battling nightmares, I would go in the room and I'd say, okay, where's it at? What's scaring you? And he'd say, over there, Daddy, in the closet. And I'd spray the water and I'd say, okay, Holy Spirit's got it. And I'd do it all through that, you know, under his bed. I'd squirt. The Holy Spirit just took out what was it, whatever was there. And there comes a moment where you really have to almost do that spiritually. You have to walk in that place of understanding that when the shadow looms, you have the right to step up. The Bible says whatever is perfect, whatever is a gift coming down from God who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shadow. You know, I wrote about the five reasons why the lion roars because I had never studied lions. And the Bible tells us that in Proverbs 28, verse 1, the wicked run away when no one is chasing them, but the righteous, the godly, are as bold as lions. And later on, I'll share the five reasons why they roar. But what I want to say to everybody that's listening out there, this is your moment. This is your now moment to rise up and realize the enemy is a liar. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be diligent, for the devil, your adversary, likes to act like a lion to pounce on you. He's not the lion. We have the lion of the tribe of Judah, who when he went as a lamb to the cross, became a lion on the cross and declared it is finished. At that moment, you have authority to break those thoughts like Karen was talking about, to step in and walk in supernatural authority, to praise through your storm, to brag on God, to replace the thoughts of the enemy with the thoughts of God. It's just about getting back to what I call the pride rock of God, that I get to stand upon him.
Amen. So, Karen, before we dig in a little further, we've got a listener who's got a question here. It's an important question. It's kind of two-faceted. It says, Susie, I don't know if I've ever had the Lord speak to me the way they seem to experience him. I have impressions but not clear sentences like they seem to experience. And the second question is, what about all the faithful people that don't have positive outcomes but that actually die from their cancer? Those are both really good questions. Karen, what do you say?
You know, as far as, you know, God speaking to us, I think the main way that God will always speak to us is through his word. Mm-hmm. You know, as we're reading his word, the Bible tells us that the Bible, the word of God, is living and breathing, active in our lives. And so as we read the scripture, we will hear him. And I think, you know, God does speak to me in dreams and visions and those types of things, but it always comes out as confirmation of what his word says. And so it's never contradictory to the word of God. And so I think as we study, as we dig deep into his word, then I think that's when we begin to hear his voice. Matthew 10:25 actually says, what I whisper to you in the darkness, you will shout into the daylight. And so I believe when we dig into his presence, we dig into his word, and we spend time in his presence. You know, my husband always says, you know, we've done so many youth conferences and youth camps. He teaches young people to keep a notepad with them in their prayer time, in their that intimate time with God, so that as God begins to speak to them, they can write it down and begin to learn the voice of the Father and to understand when he's speaking to them.
Well, and you know, you asked the question, Susie, if I can jump in, about what about if your miracle doesn't come? I just want to really speak to that, because that was a big thing with me. As we'd get up every morning and we'd turn on worship in the house, and I'd just go, okay, even if the miracle doesn't, even if, you know, it's that but if not, like the Hebrew Children in the Fire, that but if not praise. But one of my favorite is when you begin to study the Hall of Faith, which is found in Hebrews, 11 and 12. When you begin to study, it talks about all the miracles, the different patriarchs, some we've never even heard their names until you read that, the miracles. And I honestly believe that the Apostle Paul probably wrote that, because there's matching scriptures in Corinthians and Hebrews. But he goes through the whole list of the great ones, from Abraham to Rahab to all the way down to Noah, to Sarah, who judged God faithful in Hebrews 11:11. But then it gets to the very bottom, and all of a sudden it says, but there were those who did not receive their miracle in this life, and they were okay with it. And I just want to speak to anybody that's out there. When his perfect peace that passes our understanding steps into your life, we had to come to a place where we said, God, you're going to do this. We are walking by faith. We're not going to tell the whole world because we don't want negative voices. And we're going to keep praying. We're going to bring those reports to the altar every day. But even if you don't, I'm still going to dance. I'm still going to praise you, because you are a mighty God. And to be absent from the body is to be with him. So that's the ultimate, prize.
Amen.
One last thing, and this was in the book, and I wrote this. A great missionary said this. He was walking home from burying his son in Africa, and somebody drives by and just honks, just doesn't even pick him up. He's walking down a long road after burying his son who had died in Africa, and he said this: I determined at that moment in my life I would not backslide over the mysteries.
Wow. Love that. You know, I got to say, I have a mentor that was one of the godliest women I knew. About 30 years ago, she had cancer of her voice box or vocal cords, and she had one of those little boxes that she'd put up to her throat. And I was battling Lyme disease really bad as a young mom, and she had fire in her eyes, and she put that little box up to her throat. And she said, Susie, she says, look at me in the eyes. She said, I trust God to heal me, but if he doesn't, he's God. And she said, and if he takes me, it means he will get more glory from my death than he does from my life. She said, the devil has no say in this. And that, there are godly people that get sick and die and they graduate to heaven. And that is the mystery. And I think it's just beautiful. And when I was thinking about the implications of fear, I'm thinking even the parable of the talents, the one that in fear buried the talent. I mean, the master wasn't very kind about it. You know what I'm saying? When we let fear keep us, self-sabotage our destiny, we let fear keep us from ever stepping out in faith. There are implications, because there are people we are appointed to touch. And I just feel such a conviction that the church be ready to meet Jesus. And if we are facing him going, well, I was afraid, so, and I just didn't know what you'd say or what people would say about me. That's a problem, because there is a day of reckoning coming. So I want you to speak, maybe cast a vision for the impossible. In fact, you said, Karen, if people get free from fear, they will be able to do the impossible. They will rise up and take back what's been stolen by the lie of fear. So let's do this. Let's cast a vision of what is possible if we'll finally deal with this fear. Karen, you go first.
Well, I think just through experience, I think when we decide to cast off fear, because what I learned in my life, that fear was really came from pride in my life. I was afraid of what people thought. I was afraid of what people will think if I do this or if I do that. And, during that time, I learned that fear is not the absence of courage. Fear is actually the embryo of courage. Fear is courage that is waiting to be awakened. And if people will realize, my cancer diagnosis could have buried me. It could have, took me out of the game altogether. But I was determined, just like we talked about, if God heals me, he's going to receive the glory. If he doesn't heal me, I'm going to praise him all the way to the end, because I realized that how I walk through my fear, how I walk through my circumstances will determine how the next generation trusts in the one who can heal. It will determine how my daughter, how my son, how all of those people will depend on God. It's, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We have to step out and realize that he conquered all, so that we would have the courage to conquer all. And one thing that fear can do is it can rob us of our breath. It causes us to be exhausted and weary and broken and beaten down to the point where we just give up. And that's one thing that I didn't want to do. You know, I love the scripture, Job 33:4. It says, the Spirit of God has made me, but the breath of the Almighty gives me life. And, you know, Genesis 1:2 goes on to tell us that in the beginning, you know, that it was darkness all around us. But when God spoke, and that word, when it says that he spoke, it literally means that he breathed. When God breathed, light came forth out of the darkness. And we have to create an atmosphere in our life, create an atmosphere in our home for the breath of God to flow freely so that light can burst forth in the middle of our darkness. And if we'll allow that to happen, then there is nothing that we can accomplish, because it stops being about us and it becomes more about who he is and what he is going to do in us. See, I believe that the Lord is saying that restoration of the roar is when his spirit arises once again from the depths of your gut, where it has been engaged under lock and key by low expectation, a wounded spirit, and a lack of hunger. We have to rise up and dig in, dig our heels in. You know, there were moments this whole, during that whole season, where I had to literally say, I am weak. I don't feel good. I don't feel like fighting. But if it's a fight the enemy wants, it's a fight he's going to get, because I know where my strength comes from.
Amen. I got to say, this made me laugh out loud, and I'll have you speak to it, Pat, but you're right. If the devil throws lemons at you, please do not make lemonade. Throw the lemons back in the devil's face and demand an espresso. I love that.
I have to admit, that is actually Karen's quote.
Come on, girl. Come on.
Well, and that kind of came to me one morning. I was actually getting up, and I felt awful. I didn't feel good. I felt all the symptoms of what was going on in my blood. And I was standing in front of the espresso machine in the kitchen, and I thought, you know what? I'm not taking this. You know what? The devil's handing me lemons. You know what? I'm throwing it back in his face, and I'm demanding an espresso this morning.
Come on, somebody. We're going to deposit. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the impossible, an amazing adventure that awaits you when you dare to take on fear. Talking to Karen and Pat Schatzline. I love these two. Their book, Restore the Roar, Defeat the Spirit of Fear with the Breath and the Power of God. It's just based in scripture. It just means it's time to get your fight on, that this is not an equal fight. God is far greater than that enemy who taunts, and he's a liar. That's his native tongue. Remember, we're going to defeat fear and move forward in faith. Someone once said 1,000 people are waiting on the other side of your obedience. So what's it going to take for you to rise up and make fear stand down? 877-933-2484. You can text to get in the drawing. Also, questions, comments, keep them coming. Email middays@myfaithradio.com. We'll be back in a minute. So much for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson, having a fantastic conversation with Pat and Karen Schatzline, authors of the book Restore the Roar, Defeat the Spirit of Fear with the Breath and Power of God. Listen to this, friends. They write, make a decision today to choose to trust God, for he has never lost a battle. He has never failed. He will never leave you or forsake you. Can somebody text me an amen? I'm going to read it again. Make a decision today to choose to trust God, for he has never lost a battle. He's never failed, and he will never leave you or forsake you. I want you to talk a bit more. Like, I want to know, I mean, Karen, I so appreciated you wrote in this book, and we've talked before, how fear was your nemesis, and it has been mine. We've both battled some health things, but we're both fighters, and we have stuff we believe God wants us to do. You know, what impossible things and adventurous things has God called you to because you refuse to let fear have the last say?
Well, you know, for me, I was terrified of speaking in front of people. And I was terrified of ever stepping out and doing any of the dreams that were inside of me. You know, for the majority of my life, the whole first half of my life, I was afraid to step up, step out, speak up, speak out. I was just so bound by insecurity and fear. And I think over the years, you know, of course, with an amazing husband that has always pushed me to be more than what I accepted for myself, but along with understanding that it's not man that I'm called to please, It's just, if I'm walking in the obedience to the Father in heaven, then it doesn't matter what man thinks of me. And when I was diagnosed with leukemia, it was so crazy because in that season of my life, I think I stepped out and found my voice more than I ever had. It was actually after the diagnosis of leukemia that God had placed on my heart to start a biweekly Facebook Live program called The Breathing Room. And, you know, I began that in the middle of the most difficult season of my life where I could have been, you know, coming out with a totally different outcome had it not been for God intervening. But in that season, I felt like God was trying to teach me something, that it isn't about what you walk through that matters. It's about who's walking with you in the midst of it. And he opened up this door that I was called to, because, you know, my husband always says, Pat always says, what you walk through is a good indication of who you're called to. And in that moment, I realized there are people out there who are hurting, who are lost, who are broken, who are walking through difficult seasons. And I began to do that Facebook Live, never once telling anyone that I had cancer, but only that I was walking through a difficult, you know, medical health issue. And every episode of The Breathing Room has been about overcoming, about conquering, about stepping out, about breaking fear, about doing something beyond yourself. And I think in the midst of our hardest seasons, we can accomplish the greatest things with God when we realize that it's not in our own strength, but when we truly start depending on Him and who He is and who He is in our life.
Wow, Pat, I appreciate so much your honesty, too, as someone who's, you know, because you put yourself in the front lines. The devil does fight dirty. It will stir up anxiety and fear. How has God used you in ways that have surprised you because you decided not to put up with the fear and anxiety, not to let that have the last say?
You know, I always joked that my report card in high school was a music scale, A, B, C, D, E. I mean, it was, you know what I'm saying? God seems to, it's the craziness of the Lord. I don't know who his talent scout in heaven is, but they needed to have a good talking to. And, you know, I'll never forget, it was 10 years ago when I wrote the first book, almost 10 years ago, Why Is God So Mad at Me? The Vision, He's Not Mad at You, He's Mad About You, is my first book. And when I stepped out, I thought, I am not smart enough to do this. Well, six books later, and the years of going to step on stage in front of five people or 5,000, numbers don't matter, but I would get so overwhelmed and anxious that I would have to sneak out and call Karen and say, pray for me. I'm so nervous. But, you know, here's what people have to understand. If God is in it, if you're not nervous, it's probably not God. Because when the Lord spoke to me finally at the end of this thing, on the other side of the cancer diagnosis, the healing, the miracle, the Lord spoke to me about, where did your roar go? And I said, Lord, I don't have a roar. And I began to study the lion. And I'm going to tell you, this is so powerful because the lion roars for five reasons. And bottom line is, if a lion roars, you can be 5 miles away and still hear it. But if it roars next to a Jeep, it's so powerful it can shake the bolts of the Jeep loose. But the lions roar for five reasons, and to declare their location to other lions. And folks, we got to know, in the day and age where truth is a new hate speech, we need to know where you stand. Let the world know where you stand. Stand up and be bold. And then they roar to declare their strength. You know, bottom line is God has called you to hold fast to the confession of your hope. That's what it says in Hebrews 10. They roar to warn others where their territory is. There's some mamas that are listening right now. Their kids are going back to school and some dads. And I'm going to tell you something. You have to rise up and roar and say, wait a minute, devil, you can't have my family. They roar when they're hungry. You know, blessed are the pure in heart. For they shall seek God. But it goes on to say is, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Get hungry again, and then lastly, they roar in the morning and the evening. You know what that tells us? That's what the Bible says to light the altar, morning and evening. If you'll pray in the morning and praise in the morning and pray in the evening and praise Him, the rest of the day will be handled. And Susie, I'll never forget, it was about 4 years ago, Holy Spirit said to me, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. And the first thing He said was, take back your health. So I lost about 72 pounds. But then we launched a business to help other people take back their health. And through that journey, I never realized that I knew I had a priest in me, but I didn't know I had a king. And it was confronting the fear of allowing the king to rise up in me, the priest and king, that God shifted us. Anyway, I've talked too much. Sorry.
No, you haven't. We're listening to every word. You know, we just got about, I don't know, about 4 minutes left, and I'm kind of going out on a limb here, but I just get the sense different people are listening today who need a fresh word from the Lord, you know, and I'm just, let's just ask the Lord to speak to us. But, you know, Karen, I'm thinking of a person that who listens regularly, who's homebound, she's sick, she's been homeless, trying to find places, she's got environmental sensitivities, she loves Jesus, she cannot catch a break. And she said, I'm going to see if I can find her text, she said, I can't begin to tell you how much this show means right now. Don't even know if I would have made it through another moment without it. He's using you all powerfully. I'm wondering, Karen, if you just maybe speak a word of encouragement to her. Her name's Carissa, or you could pray for her.
Absolutely. You know what? I just want to say to Clarissa, don't give up. Don't give up. God has never given up on you, and he wants to reach in and minister life to you today. You know, I love Billy Sunday said this, said, fear knocked at the door, but faith answered, and lo, no one was there. See, I want you to know that fear at times can be so overwhelming, so overtaking our life, that God wants to come in and floodlight your life. You know, sometimes in our life, we can just literally, the Bible tells us it's as easy as turning on the light with him. I love what Psalm 18 says, God, you floodlight my life. I'm blazing with glory. I can smash the bands of attackers, jump over obstacles, and every God direction is road tested. Everyone who runs towards God makes it. That God wants you to run to him, and you will make it. And I just want to pray for you. Lord, I just pray right now yes. that you minister life, that you minister hope, that you bring that floodlight into Clarissa's life, that you show her. Lord, I believe that right now that you can give her direction, you can give her security, you can give her clarity of mind, you can bring her peace. Just like Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are stayed on you because they trust you. I pray you open doors for her.
Flood her, Holy Spirit.
Flood her life, Holy Spirit.
Overwhelm.
And open doors to bring restoration in every area of her life, in health, in family, in every area, in Jesus' name.
Pat, I've got another one for you. Someone saying, dear listeners, has been struggling with fear, watching my prodigal run hard away from God. Turned on the radio today and heard this. Would love a copy of the book. I know I'm a warrior, but my heart is absolutely breaking for my son. Wondering, would you maybe speak to that, dear listener? And
absolutely. You know, I'd be honored to. We wrote about it in Rebuilding the Altar, how we had to fight for our son's life. And there's a moment where you say, devil, you cannot have my seed. Amen. My seed was put on this earth to be great and mighty. And we come into agreement with you right now that God is going to awaken that prodigal, make him miserable till he comes home, till he's restored in his spirit. But I want to tell you, don't speak to the fool in him. Speak to the king in him. To tell them who they are and what they're going to be. And I promise you, God's word will not return void.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that so much. You said this, that God wants to restore our faint hearts. He wants to restore the roar inside of us. God wants to strengthen our hearts and turn us into lion hearts. And I'm telling you, we've got about a minute and a half, and I'm going to ask you both to pray if we can get it done. Let's just see if we can. Pat, why don't you start? Just pray that we would all be awakened to the very thing you're talking about in this book.
Holy Spirit, I just thank you for not only being our comforter, but the very definition comforter means to cut away. God, sometimes the fear that has embraced us is allowing us to actually confront some things that you want out of our life. But Lord, I pray the Spirit of God overwhelms every person that's listening, whether they're driving, sitting in the office, or at home. And Lord, right now, you will awaken their spirit that this is a new day, peace, overwhelm.
And Father, I just pray right now that you awaken the lion heart today. Lord, just like you told Peter in Matthew 14, faint heart, what got into you? And you're declaring over them today, just as you told the disciples, courage, it's me. Let courage arise inside of them today. Let them dig deep into who you are, Father, and realize that you have placed courage inside of them to overtake, to conquer, and to overcome fear in their life, so that they will rise up and become the warriors that they were called to be.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I pray you two will come back and visit us again in the very new future. I feel like there's so much more in the book we can talk about. Thank you for joining us today.
We've been honored. And y'all,
so honored.
Y'all go get the book. It will give it to your family. Go to RestoreTheRoarBook.com if you need to, or Amazon. But I'm telling you, this book was not written. And by the way, a huge, massive part of the proceeds go to rescue children. That's what we decided with this book, because that's where fear starts.
Got to jump out here. Bless you both. Come back and join us again. Thank you, dear listeners, for tuning in, and we'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this Middays with Susie Larson podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of Middays with Susie Larson.